we arrive at the day that I hope each year will never come. In the weeks preceding Tisha B'Av, as I meet my friends, I invite them to join me for lunch on Tisha B'Av in my backyard, where we'll give a barbecue and the best wines. And I'm fully intent on fulfilling my word, and I'm absolutely confident that one day I will. So, as I say, I arrive at the day that I hope each year is not going to come. That the day will emerge, ultimately, as a day of simcha. To look at Tisha B'Av, and we'll see as in the comments along the way, from even the Novi and Yirmiyah, that the tragedy that we're concerned with is twofold. Our enemies throughout history wish to destroy Jewish sovereignty, the Jewish state, and yet that did not suffice. The Nebuchadnezzar understood it immediately. In the Romans, it was a very long process till they reached the same conclusion. But they both reached the conclusion that they have to destroy the spirituality, the ruchnius of the Jewish people. And thus, they understood that Klal Yisrael, even in the absence of sovereignty, if a spirituality survives, then all the difficulties that they faced with attempting to suppress the Jewish people, they will never succeed. This has been true in all the generations. Ad HaYom HaZeh, we'll see as we come to Shali Sufa Ba'ish, the attempts of the Catholic Church to eradicate the Jewish religion. And even we have relatively contemporary writers, Rav Moshe Praga, Zichrono Livracha. After the Holocaust, is recorded in one of his writings that Hitler Yimach Shemoi stated that the Western Jews of France and Germany, under appropriate circumstances from his standpoint, he was willing to allow them to leave. But the Polish Jews, he wanted to eradicate fully. So the Polish Jews are the Jews of the Talmud. And if they survive, they will defeat him. Then Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed. And thus, on Tisha B'Av is really a focus on both, on Jewish sovereignty and on the spirituality of the Jewish people. It lies at the very heart of a mizmor that I've spoken about many times, which is very, very meaningful to me. The thoughts, I was being mispalel years back in Meron, and I came to mizmor Kuvav and Tillim, and I was stymied for a moment. I found it enigmatic. And I resolved my difficulty and I continued my tefillas. And the next day I returned to Yerushalayim and I went to visit my mentor and my yidid, Rav Moshe Halberstam Zatzal. And he invariably did. He asked me, he said, "So what have you experienced in Eretz Yisrael?" So I told him that I was in Meron yesterday and I was reciting Mizmor Kuvav. And I shared with him my insight, which he appreciated. Mizmor Kuvav and Tillim describes really the whole history of the Jewish people who were in Mitzrayim. The Rabbeinu Shalom redeemed us from Mitzrayim. And yet all the rises and falls of the Jewish people, if you read Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Melochim, we've risen, we've fallen, particularly in Sefer Shoftim that you read. We worshipped Avodah Zarah. The Rabbeinu Shalom sent us someone to redeem us. We had Gidon, we had Yiftach, all different figures in Sefer Shoftim to redeem us. And yet again we slid back into Avodah Zarah, back and forth and back and forth. And this has been the cycle of Jewish history. We connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're focused on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and we lose that contact. Near the very end of the Mizmor, David HaMelech writes, "Vayitnei miyad goyim, Vayichraf Hashem ba'amo," the Rabbeinu Shalom grew angry with us. "Vayisayev es nachloso," we despised this nachlo. And he turned us over to the hands of the nations of the world. And our enemies, in fact, wielded authority over us. They persecuted us. We were humbled. Many times the Rabbeinu Shalom has saved us. And yet we have again rebelled against the Rabbeinu Shalom. And we've suffered because of our sins. And the Rabbeinu Shalom witnessed us in the oppression that we suffered. And he's listened to our tefillos. The Rabbeinu Shalom has brought forth his compassion in the face of all those that have conquered us. And then he ends, to gather us from the nations of the world. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisroel, and Olam V'Yad Olam, V'Omar Kol Amen, Hallelujah. And I wondered, what is the end of this mizmor? That's what so struck me. Why now does David HaMelech call forth, Hoshein V'Kapteinu Min Agoyim, and Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisroel, and Olam V'Yad Olam, apparently that this time the Yeshua will endure? Why is it different than all the other times that he's recounted in this entire mizmor? And he says just before the end, the penultimate step of this mizmor, that the Rabbeinu Shalom has saved us many times, and yet Yamru Ba'atzosim, we've again rebelled against the Rabbeinu Shalom. So why does he now pronounce with confidence that the Rabbeinu Shalom will bring us there to Yisrael and this will endure? And to me the answer lays, because the Hoydes L'Shem Kotshech L'Shtabech B'Silosech. We come there to Yisrael for many, many different reasons. We come there to Yisrael as a haven for the Jewish people. It's a haven in today's world. In all the turmoil of the 20th century, the tremendous suffering of the Jewish people, and the kindness of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that in the aftermath of the Holocaust, that he gave the Jewish people a haven to come to. As the Belzer Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said, after the Holocaust, there's no question that there has to be Medina Yisrael. The Jews need a place to put their feet on the earth, which belongs to us, which no one can take away from us, and we will not be persecuted. So a very, very significant reason to come to Eretz Yisrael. But yet that does not resolve our association with Eretz Yisrael and with the Rabbeinu Shalom. If we are coming to Eretz Yisrael to serve ourselves, our agenda is to serve ourselves, then the day that it enters our head that the Baal, the current Avodah Zarah, will in fact assist us in our quest for our existential existence, will turn in that direction too. And this occurred over and over in Jewish history. The moment, though, that our quest becomes that we are coming to Eretz Yisrael, L'Hoydeis L'Shem Kotshecho, that their ultimate quest is to connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, once we achieve that, then David HaMelech said we are secure, that it's Min HaOlam V'Yad HaOlam, that we will be absolutely secure in Eretz Yisrael. And that really is our quest in the contemporary world. I've mentioned many, many times, the Chassam Sofer, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha, is astounding. The Ruach HaKodesh, and there's no other word to be able to describe the writings of the Chassam Sofer at times. The Chassam Sofer wrote, he died approximately 1840. Zionism in the modern sense did not begin in anyone's account until the 1880s, the early colonies of Rothschild. Yet Chassam Sofer writes, he says, based on the Rambam and the Parish of Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, that there will be a huge gathering of Jews, Al Admas HaKodesh, before Mashiach Tzidkenu. And he says, that's the meaning of the pasuk that we read on Rosh Hashanah, V'shavu me'eretz oyev, we'll return from the land of our enemies. However, what does the next pasuk mean? V'shavu vonim l'gvulam, what's lacking still? The gvulam is the gvulah kedushas, the Mikdash itself. And we will have, this will be a period in Jewish history, in between V'shavu me'eretz oyev and V'shavu vonim l'gvulam. 175 years ago, the Chassam Sofer, Ruach Kotcho, exactly described the world in which we live. A huge kibbutz, close to 50% of the Jews in the world, Al Admas HaKodesh. And what's missing? Belev Libam, and the Lev, in the very heart of Klal Yisrael, we come to the Kaisel, and we have a remnant of the Mikdash. And for that remnant, we have to fight. The Harabayas, they wish to deny us altogether. We have no association with. Rabbeinu Shalom will see to that too. But on Tisha B'Av, we mourn the loss of the sovereignty, and we mourn even more deeply today the loss of the spirituality. Tisha B'Av in the halacha is called the Mayit. Koralai Mayit. Why is it called the Mayit, a day of such suffering? There are two possible explanations we could give. The simplest of the two, but not the deepest of the two, the simplest of the two is ultimately it will be a Mayit. It will be a day to celebrate the revival of the Mikdash in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the Kinnus is really a balance of two things. It's a mourning for the past, for the current suffering, and with a hopeful eye to the future. If we look at the very end, how does Eichel? The ultimate kinnah is Eichel, written by Yirmiyahu Hanavi himself. Chazal call it a kinnah. The ultimate kinnah ends, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva chadei shemeinu kikana, on an upbeat, on an up note. So that perhaps is part of Tisha B'Av. We mourn, it's the most catastrophic of days, and yet we have an eye to the future, to the salvation. But there's a deeper meaning too. What does the very word mayid mean? It's the word mayid. Asher yivayid l'cha shomo. With the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we meet the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Gemara in Chagiga states that wachmas dalia l'rego is lirois v'leirois. To interact with the Shekhinah, to experience Shekhinah, and Shekhinah to interact with Klal Yisrael. We experience the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in different ways. And Tisha B'Av, in fact, is one of the ways that we experience Shekhinah. Let me explain to you. I told you that I am always overwhelmed by the Klosenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Goyim and learning I can relate to, at some level. I appreciate the goyimness, but I can relate to them. But the amunah, the faith that he had, the absolute amunah under Rabbeinu Shel Olam, a man that lost his wife, 11 children, his kehillah, and almost lost his own life, is way beyond me. I don't even begin to understand what it's about. The Klosenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said that in the camps where he suffered so greatly, I saw the Rabbeinu Shel Olam there. People looked at him as if he lost his mind. The Sfaro comments at the very beginning of Parshas Re'eh, these are extremes. Brocha is something which is way beyond the norm in a good sense, and klolo is way below the norm in a negative sense. In closing, Boger Rebbe Zatzal said, derech ha-teva is that you win some and you lose some. To always win or to always lose is l'mayla mederech ha-teva. Said we made hatched many, many plans to escape from the Nazis. We dug tunnels under the walls of the camp. One day we finished the tunnel, and the next night we were going to run out and run off to the forest and to escape. And there was a huge deluge that night, and the tunnel collapsed, and we were discovered. Nothing that we did, and we hatched many plans, succeeded. For nothing to succeed, to never succeed, that's the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Derech HaTeva does not explain that. And that's what we said, but that V'kashtem Yishom Es Hashem Elokecho Ki Tzid Rishenu B'chol Levo B'chol B'chol Nafshecho. Where but tzar l'cho mitzaucho kol advarim ha'ilah. In the midst of that tzar, in the midst of that golus, when we understand that it's way beyond anything that the derech ha'teva should bring upon us, is batzar l'cho mitzaucho mishom b'sar Hashem Elokecho. And in that sense, Tisha B'Av is a mayit. We connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam from a very different standpoint than we do on a chag. But no less so. And almost as the Shas tells us, Kishem Shemavorchim al Atoiv, Kach Mavorchim al Ara, we recognize the Rabbeinu Shel Olam equally in both. It's obviously a lot more comfortable to recognize him in Toiv. But in Ra, we recognize the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as well. Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal defined it in this fashion. Said if we ask ourselves what our goals are for Eretz Yisrael, he says it depends. He says there was a farmer in Galil. He had a beautiful farm. He produced produce. He was happy. He was satisfied. The Golas came and drove him from Eretz Yisrael. He comes back to his farm, he starts to plow. It's fertile, he succeeds again, he's happy. He's back where he was before. Ayi comes to Yerushalayim, and he's in Golus. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, he came to the Mikdash. He experienced the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah's lacking. There are different perspectives. If you look from the physical perspective, then Gula is one thing. If we look from the spiritual perspective, then we see how far yet we have to go. So this is the background, Rabbi Yisai, the very beginning of what the Kinnas is about. It's to focus on the physical and the spiritual sides of what took place at the Churban, the suffering of the Jewish people in Golus, and the difficulties of the survival of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah in the Golus, and how yet the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has stood by us in the Golus through all of it. The first of the kinnis says something which is almost, from our standpoint, it's almost something which we can't even connect with, because it's almost trite. The non-Jewish world has made us as filth and refuse. When Jew is a pejorative word in the world, it's even hard to imagine what exactly the kin is saying. We are so inured to it almost, because it's so constant. And to realize there was a world that preceded that, who was Sarosi Bamadinas, the most respected of nations in the world. And as the Medrash tells us, they would come from all over the world to meet the people of Yerushalayim, to appreciate the Chochmah that they had. They were renowned throughout the world. Now, we think today that we're making progress in the world, and that if you go to Silicon Valley and you want to succeed, it's good to know over it. The place of the second greatest number, not per capita, the second greatest number of high-tech startups in the world is Eretz Yisrael today. One of our members who went off to Eretz Yisrael to live there told me, he said, the quality, the level of the chokhmah that's involved in the computer world on a daily basis there, he worked in corporations in America for all the money in the world. They couldn't buy it. They couldn't find it. And that's merely a fraction of what the chokhmah, the appreciation of Klal Yisrael was in the ancient world. And yet, what comes about through the Golus, is Yasichu B'Yosh Reshar. And the Medrash tells us that Klal Yisrael became a focus of derision for the entire world. And that derision transcends no matter what Klal Yisrael does. In their world, they said, Klal Yisrael is poor. Why are we poor? Because we observe the Shabbos, and because we observe the Shabbos, therefore, and then we party on Shabbos, so we don't have any money, and etc. They mocked Ashmira Shabbos. In history, they've mocked us from every side. In the 20th century, we were mocked with the communists of the world. The Jews are communists. And we were mocked in the protocols of the elders of Zion that we control all the money in the world. Doesn't make a difference which side we're on. The one thing that the Arabs and the Christians agree about is this, that Klal Yisrael should have no standing in the world. That there's no disagreement about them. The only question is between the two of them, who is going to be the Lord, the ruler of the world. But that Klal Yisrael has no place in it, that they all agree to. Nobody has any difficulty with that. This is, and it's true in every regard. Alan Dershowitz writes in his book, The Case for Israel, we had historical anti-Semitism, which was directed against the Jewish people, against the religion, says, the same anti-Semitism has transformed itself now. Now it's expressed in today's world as anti-Israel sentiment. But he said, it's no different than the classic anti-Semitism that has accompanied us throughout all of our history. But now, instead of being on an individual sense, now that we have a national entity, so it's directed against our national entity too. So this is the very first of the kinnis, that the realization of where we started, esteemed, greatly esteemed among the nations of the world, and how far we have fallen. And ultimately it means that as the Rabbanu Shel Olam will bring forth the developments of Jewish history, we will ultimately return to that earlier state. But the Kinnis begins where we are presently, what has accompanied us throughout the Golus, what has become almost normal for us, and the realization that it's not normal. Let's begin the Kinnis with that.